Okay, these are comments coming in from you, the listener at home, as to how you think things might play out after the general election or during it, and other matters as well. A caller says, I think Pádraig McLoughlin will have a fight to hold on to his seat while Charla McConlogh will be safe. But I'm sure both want to motivate voters to come out. They want to avoid apathy. Pat the Cope Gallagher will walk in. No problem, says the listener. If the weather and day is bad of election winter time, will there be a 50% turnout? It's hard to know. I don't know how much of an influence the weather has on it, but you can have a dire day in the summer as well. As a person with defective blocks in my home, I see no point in voting for an independent candidate for the 100% redress because he will be ineffective as a lone person and change will be needed in numbers. I don't see Charlie McConlogh as a media-friendly candidate, so he doesn't engage in debate, only in good news stories which suit him, they claim. In relation to that, I'm sure Minister McConlogh would say he's doing an awful lot of work on the ground. And I'm sure from a 100% redress perspective, you know, there are opportunities for independents to support a government if they can get what they want. You know, there's bargaining there. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily completely ineffective. I watch news a lot, says the listener. I cannot understand how a candidate like Pat the Cope can lay claim to work while not a member of the Dáil. It's ridiculous and shouldn't be allowed. Again, as I say, I don't want to comment on every individual candidate, but there are many people that believe that Pat the Cope Gallagher has been as busy as a TD, even though not elected. But another says Pat the Cope Gallagher isn't even elected yet. He was on the news yesterday talking about the new housing development in Castlefin. Pat has been around for the block a few times and has been elected before. He's getting on. A new younger candidate should have been allowed to run. It's the party's decision. They don't dictate, I don't believe. In relation to that, you know, what you will see is candidates having a platform now, right? So if you are an official candidate, all media will take on board what they have to say. Everyone's entitled to equal access. Let me see. Last sting in the tail from an outgoing minister. How rotten, losing the most vulnerable and letting civil servants away with squandering millions. That's in relation to the potential €90 cut to people's payments if they don't engage with social welfare. Hi, Greg. Could you ask your guest what impact he feels the combination of the ongoing scandals within Sinn Féin with allegations of smear campaigns against TDs by the party, senior members sending inappropriate texts to children, will have on Pádraig McLoughlin, given he's the chief whip, not to mention the pushing of a policy which will allow children to take children to court where parents refuse to consent to a gender change. I'm not sure about that. And the constant flip-flopping on issues and the introduction of the 100% redress party. What effect will this have on Pádraig McLoughlin? That was kind of touched, not exactly how you phrased it. Charlie McConlogue's bringing serious money and funding into the county. This is what voters will look at when the election comes. Charlie does engage in interviews on Highland Radio via the news. John is doing his best to defend Sinn Féin here, I think. They've more than blotted their copybook. John, they deceived the public by trying to hide their skeletons in the closet. They weren't long jumping on the church bashing bandwagon themselves. On Facebook too, John said, it's batter Sinn Féin this morning again. God help Mary Lou. Well, we tend not to actually batter anyone. It's no interest. It's far easier to be as fair as you can be than it is to actually be biased one way or other. And we try and be as fair as we want. And I think our assessment and conversation about Sinn Féin is only highlighting the issues they themselves have recognised and their handling of it. In some cases, they've recognised that perhaps it hasn't been the best. In other areas, they've defended how they've handled things. It's just an open conversation about that party. I don't think there's any bashing going on. There certainly is bashing going on in the national press in some quarters. But it's something I certainly wouldn't be engaged in, bashing anyone. November 29th is Black Friday. Be no one out voting. Hi, Greg. Any person would vote this government back into power would need their heads checked, and especially the Donegal people, their houses falling down around them. This government has the country destroyed. I'm hoping they're wiped out big time. Let me see what else have I got here. Greg, what an outstanding journalist is Mr. McAteer. The man has a mind of no other political journalist half his age. Thank you, John. That comes in from Oisin. When I graduated from Carries Fort Training College in 1960. We had to give a guarantee that we would teach in Ireland for at least 5 years. Otherwise, we had to pay back our training fees. And that's an answer to a question I put out there at the start of the show, because it's a conversation happening elsewhere. You know, our best and brightest are qualifying from their courses and often heading straight away on a plane. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. Whilst we have a massive shortage in nurses and teachers and what have you. And the question was, and that listener answered it, should there be a minimum term one has to serve, you know, their trade in this country if they are educated using any state resources. I was in Letterkenny yesterday to see the consultant about my heart. I was there because I have an abnormality. I was told that unless you're showing symptoms, you won't see the consultant under a new HSE directive. For some people, by the time they show symptoms, it's too late. Now, is that just one person's experience? I've no reason to doubt it. Or have other people come across that as well? Another here. Do you know when you hear someone on the radio a lot but don't know what they look like? Well, I'm not a social media. I'm not on social media by choice for me. One of them was John McAteer. When he spoke, I pictured the broadcaster George Hook. He looks nothing like him. When I seen him celebrating his birthday, I can now picture the right face. That's my story. Thanks very much for that. Yeah, indeed. I think there was a time, and I remember as a radio listener, and I've always been a radio listener back in the day, whereby you didn't know what Jerry Ryan looked like early in his career, or Larry Gogan, or Simon, whatever his name was, can't remember his name. But you know what I'm on about, because you only ever heard them on the radio, and there wasn't much coverage of them in the paper. But I suppose there's less of that now with social media. I think most people know people that they hear on a regular basis, what they look like, or if not, they're curious and go and have a look. Obviously, this listener wasn't on social media by choice, or isn't. Didn't know what John McAteer looked like, but saw pictures of him presumably celebrating his 80th. Yeah, interesting. But as I say, that's almost like a thing of the past, isn't it? Not knowing what someone on the radio looks like, because as I say, often they're plastered all over social media.
The county's number one talk show, The 9 Till Noon Show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to The 9 Till Noon Show. And it is that time of the week for Community Garda information. It's 20 past 10 on this Tuesday, the 22nd of October. And our guest this week, delighted to welcome back into studio, Garda Claire Rafferty from the Milford Garda Station. Thanks, Claire.
Morning, Greg.
Good to have you with us. Right, Claire, that microphone, sorry, just pull it down a little bit closer to you. That might be my fault. Perfect. We've an awful lot to get through, a lot of criminal damage instances and much more besides. So we'll start with an appeal as it relates to a road traffic collision, if that's okay, Claire.
Yeah, so we're investigating this one that occurred at Ballynacore Crossroads on Sunday afternoon, just gone there, the 20th of October. It happened at approximately 12:40 p.m. The drivers of both vehicles, a male and a female, were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. So we're appealing to anyone who may have travelled on the Balbofage Crossroads Road around that time who had a dash cam to make the footage available to us. And if anyone actually witnessed the collision itself, we ask them to make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny. And the phone number there is 074-9167-100.
Now, burglary being investigated in Donegal Town.
Yeah, so the Gardaí in Ballyshannon are asking for information on this one. It occurred at a vacant house in the area of Orbeg, Donegal Town, between Tuesday the 1st of October and Tuesday the 15th of October. So there is a 2 week time there. The glass was removed from the front door frame of the house in order to gain entry. Now, nothing was stolen from the property, but we are appealing to residents in that area to make contact with Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530. If they observed any suspicious activity between those dates, or alternatively, the Garda confidential line is always there, 1-800-666-111.
Next, it's to Letterkenny. It's one of those that we hear about occasionally, but rarely, it seems, where there's a burglary of an occupied house.
Yeah, you know, this one can be a bit more alarming when someone finds someone within their house. So we're appealing for information. In relation to it, it happened in the Glendale Drive, Glencar, Letterkenny area on Tuesday the 15th of October between approximately 7:45 p.m. and 8 p.m. So a resident was in the house, they were upstairs and they heard something in the downstairs kitchen. Some kind of rummaging around noise is what they heard. When they went downstairs, they discovered that there had been an intruder, as they had left the back door wide open. Again, nothing was stolen from the house, but if you observed any suspicious activity or people on foot in that area during that short time frame between 7:45 and 8 o'clock on Tuesday the 15th, please give us a call with any information that you can there to Letterkenny.
Okay, heading to Buncrana now, and an instance of criminal damage.
Yeah, so they're investigating this one that happened at a house in Lis Eoghan Avenue, Buncrana, on Tuesday the 15th of October. Now, I have an approximate time here of 11:18 p.m. A rock was thrown through the kitchen window of the house, causing it to smash. So we wish to speak to anyone who may have travelled in the area between 11 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. with a dash cam, or if anyone can assist our investigation with any relevant information, we ask them to contact Buncrana Garda Station on 074-93-205-40.
And with this case and the next case you're going to mention, you know, there's going to be no excuse for this type of activity, but you wonder if the people responsible aren't aware that there could be a toddler in that kitchen. In the next case, there could be someone lying on a couch under a window. You know, we could be talking about very, very serious injury here, which does lead us on to a second criminal damage incident in Buncrana.
Yeah, so it's similar again. And this one occurred on Wednesday, the 16th of October, between midnight and 3 p.m. at a house in St. Columba's Avenue in Buncrana. At some point during that time frame, the front living room window at the address was smashed. So, as you said, it's a random act of vandalism, but it could have consequences to anyone that might be inside. So we're appealing to anyone who may have observed suspicious activity in the area, or who may be able to assist us with information, to give Buncrana a call, please.
Yeah, and lots of people might have, you know, ring doorbells or whatever it might be, or external security cameras that could help in this investigation, because you never know whose window it could be next. Criminal damage again, this time targeting a business.
So this was a business at Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, in the early hours of Saturday. So essentially Friday night, the 19th of October, between 12:50 a.m. and 4 a.m. The front window of the premises was smashed between those times. If anyone, for example, a taxi driver who may have been parked in the location, or anyone at all that might have dash cam early that morning, we ask them to please make the footage available to us, and the Gardaí in Letterkenny can be contacted again on 074-916-7100.
All right, damage to a car down in Killybegs quite recently, actually.
Yeah, so Ballyshannon Gardaí are seeking information on this one. It occurred at Emerald Drive, Killybegs, between 6 p.m. on Saturday the 19th of October and 5:30 a.m. on Sunday the 20th of October. So this car was parked at the location, and it was keyed from the front to the rear of the passenger side between those times. There was substantial damage caused as a result. So if anyone observed any suspicious activity again in that area between those times, or if they can assist with our investigation, please contact Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530.
Yep, back further north now to Kilmacrenan, and investigations ongoing into a theft incident there.
Yeah, so this one occurred at a Lister in Kilmacrenan between 3 p.m. on Monday the 14th of October and 6:30 p.m. On Sunday the 20th of October. A yard was entered and two sets of digger track pads were stolen from within it. One set of these were 78 by 40 centimetres and the other was 88 by 70 centimetres. So bearing in mind this kind of item, transport such as a van or a trailer would likely have been required to remove the items from the yard. So we appeal to residents in the area to make contact with us if they observed any suspicious vehicles or activity in the area between those dates. And as always, should anyone come across similar items for sale on a second-hand basis, we'd ask them to make us aware. So it's ourselves out in Milford investigating this one. So you can give us a ring on 074-915-3060.
Yeah, and it might not have seemed suspicious at the time, but retrospectively, having heard that appeal, it might make more sense, and Gardaí keen for that information there, of course. Right, okay, theft in Kerrykeel now.
Yeah, we got a report yesterday in relation to this one, and it was the theft of four Renault tractor front weights, 36 to 38 kgs each, and six Massey tractor weights, which are 46 kg each. And they were taken from a yard in the area of Gortcali, Kerrykeel, between August 20th and October 21st. We appeal to anyone who may be able to assist with relevant information to make contact with us in Milford. Again, 074-915-3060. And again, transport would have been required. Yeah. I know there's a big time frame there, but if something sticks out in someone's head, let us know. And again, if you've seen similar things for sale.
Now, obviously, we've had and it's not just this week. In previous weeks now, we've seen yards entered into, you know, farm yards being targeted or what have you. So perhaps maybe on construction and houses and empty properties. So there's something going on there. There's a trend in cases. So I suppose a bit of advice in that regard.
Absolutely. We'd ask anyone involved in the likes of construction or farming to conduct a review of their security measures that they currently have in place. Ensure that tools and machinery of a high value are locked away and that there is adequate lighting in place. The use of cameras should also be considered. It can be a great deterrent. We also ask members of the public to always contact Gardaí immediately if they observe any type of suspicious activity or vehicles in the area. Even if you're not sure if it's fine, we'll check it out and there's no issue.
You're not bringing any aggro on anyone who's just going about their business.
Not at all, no. So Sergeant Fergus McGrory, who's the Divisional Crime Prevention Officer, is available to advise in relation to security measures should anyone wish to speak to him. He can be contacted in Letterkenny Guard Station 074-916-7100.
Right, a reappeal now in relation to an assault.
Yeah, so we wish to reissue this appeal. It happened at Main Street, Balbuffet, in the early hours of Sunday, the 21st of April 2024. Now, we're talking about 1:30 a.m. The incident occurred near the junction for Glenfinn Street. A man was assaulted by another man at that location, and the injuries sustained were serious but not life-threatening. The man being sought by us in connection with the incident has been described as being in his early 20s, wearing a quarter-zip top, and he had dark hair. So it might spring to mind to people because there was a large crowd out socialising on the night in question as the Donegal Derry game had been played on Saturday the 20th. So hopefully that might jog a few memories. If you witness this or you have any information about it, please give Letterkenny Gardaí a ring.
Yep, and that's 916-7100. Right, we are heading into a bank holiday weekend, which of course we know is a more dangerous time on our roads. There's lots of variables as well, because since the last appeal, we've got darker mornings, darker evenings, and there could be some activity with people out and about and what have you. So what's your advice to us, Claire?
Well, as you say, it usually brings a higher volume of traffic on the roads, and with that comes an increased risk of collisions. So we ask all road users to please use the roads responsibly. Especially drivers are urged to slow down, wear your seatbelt, ensure your passengers are wearing their seatbelts, not to drive while under the influence of alcohol and or drugs. And another one that there seems to be a lot of problems with too, do not use or hold your mobile phone while driving. Remember, if you've been drinking, you may not be safe to drive the morning after, so it's not worth risking it. Stay at home, don't do it. Always be on the lookout for cyclists and pedestrians and drive at a safe speed. Just a reminder too that the clocks will change on Sunday, October 27th, and that means that we'll be facing into the darker evenings and darker mornings. So please remember, if you're out and about, to wear a high visibility vest if going walking, running or cycling.
I don't want to do any sort of judgment stuff, but it does amaze me these mornings. you know, there's a lot, especially more rural parts of the county, but not exclusively, the amount of school traffic and lots of kids fleeting from cars to buses and all this type of stuff and sitting with their headlights on, and drivers can't necessarily see what's going on. And not no coats, but that's besides the point, but no high-vis either. Like, it's pitch black. Yeah. And it's just at that time in the morning where everyone's up and out and that stuff. It's just so important that if you're on the road, even fleetingly, to have a high-vis on. Because it's the difference between life and death or very serious life-changing injury.
Absolutely. Everyone has a responsibility here. It's not just up to drivers to see these people. It's up to ourselves and parents to take the measures to make sure that people are seen as well.
Yeah, and Gardaí, as you mentioned, out on the road, high visibility checkpoints and some not so high visible speed checks. And really, it's in our hands to avoid us waking up following the weekend and be faced with that email or that news report that talks of a tragedy on our roads. We can, for the most part, hopefully avoid that. Right, we're coming up to Halloween as well, and this creates its own sort of set of issues.
Yeah, well, it's something you touched on in the news as well. Halloween is getting close, and we don't want anyone to be frightened by or injured by fireworks. So we urge anyone who's thinking about buying or using fireworks to have a rethink. Many horrific life-changing injuries are sustained at Halloween and during the run-up to it every year, and it's by fireworks. So fireworks are not only dangerous, but there are also severe criminal penalties for anyone who is found guilty of the offences. For example, igniting an illegal firework, throwing an ignited firework at a person or property, or possession of illegal fireworks for sale or supply. The penalties are fines of up to €10,000 and 5 years imprisonment. So we're asking anyone that comes across fireworks for sale or any type of antisocial or illegal behaviour in the run-up to Halloween, we ask them to please alert us immediately. We've got 24/7 Garda stations, and I'll give you the numbers again for all them. So Letterkenny can be contacted on 074-916-7100, Milford 074-915-3060, Buncrana 074-932-0540, or Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530. And always, in an emergency, ring 999 or 112. We hope that Halloween and the run-up to it is enjoyable and safe for everyone, both on and off the roads.
All right, and the story Claire referenced on the news, two young children traumatised after a firework was thrown at them in Buncrana, a very serious crime. We're going to be speaking to the mother of those children just to sort of understand how traumatic it was for them. Claire, on a lighter note, if you were dressing up for Halloween, what might you dress up as?
I'd have to be a witch.
I'll say nothing about that because you are a guard and probably have handcuffs and stuff. All right, then. Listen, thanks very much, Claire.
Thank you.
That is Garda Claire Rafferty from the Milford Garda Station. That was Community Guard information. It's back for you next Tuesday, of course, and you can listen back to it on the podcast or rewatch it on our socials or the Garda socials a little later on today. Do you have a small to medium-sized business? Are you owner, manager, or have staff within your organisation interested in using artificial intelligence, or, in fact, who are currently responsible for artificial integration? We have an event that you might be interested in. It's being hosted by Letterkenny Chamber member Finn True. They're extending a warm welcome to local businesses to join them at the new Letterkenny office. Catherine Harkins, Executive Director, Head of AI at FinTrue. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. I can't hear you, actually. I wonder, is that me or you? No, you're not muted. Hello. Can you hear me, Catherine? You can hear me, but can I hear you?
Yes, you hear me?
I have you now.
Yeah,
excellent.
Morning, Greg.
I hope that wasn't AI responsible for switching your microphone on, was it?
No, it was just me not taking myself off mute.
We're trying to. Well, AI might help us avoid some human error. No, I'm only joking. Right, talk to us about FinTrue.
Yeah, so FinTrue was founded in 2013. It's a multi-award-winning company that works in the financial services space. So we create technology-enabled solutions for the life cycle management process. Our customers at present are some of the world's leading global financial institutions, And we have expertise across processes like know your customer, compliance, legal, risk. And really, it has grown quite significantly in the last 10 plus years. So we now have a workforce of 1,400 people, and they're spread across offices in Belfast, in Derry, Letterkenny, London, New York, and Porto. And of course, our Letterkenny office has only recently opened there on the Port Road. We had the grand opening a few weeks ago.
Okay, so there's obviously ongoing conversations about artificial intelligence in different ways in terms of how it can be integrated into people's lives and so on and so forth. But business is somewhat ahead of that conversation, and AI is, actively used in many businesses very successfully. And I think we're getting to a point, or if we're not already at it, Catherine, whereby if you are a business where it would suit and you aren't integrating it into that business or aren't availing of it, that you are a step behind your competitors. Would you see it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, all of us have kind of seen how quickly artificial intelligence has become part of our lives, our everyday lives. We all have our smartphones in our pockets, your Alexas and your in your homes. We're using AI when we don't even know that we're using it, when we've got the recommendation type offerings through Netflix or the ads that pop up on your social media, etc. All those are targeted towards you personally, based on your behaviors. And likewise, businesses too are starting to determine how they can use AI, what its advantages are, what the risks are. And, it doesn't come without its risks, but certainly, we need to understand what the potential is, how we can use it safely and responsibly in order for it to give the benefits to businesses, where it can automate certain tasks, make them more efficient, allow them to provide a better customer experience, where they're actually personalizing what they offer to their customers, giving customers what they need before they even know what they need themselves. So it has a lot of advantages. And I think, some of the large companies, you're right, they have been on their AI journey for many years. I've been working in this space since 2017. However, some of the smaller, medium-sized enterprises may not even know where to get started. They may feel that they're afraid in terms of, how they use it safely, etc. So this event is really about trying to educate some of those small to medium business owners.
I think a lot of the questions will be too, right, I see AI, I see my business, but how do you integrate it? So how do you offload, unnecessary human workload to AI, which would free up presumably human resources to focus on customers or other things? And I think that's for a lot of business owners and managers, that's the gap. I'm here, AI's there. How does it integrate to me? How does it integrate with me? And how can it be proven that it's actually beneficial to me?
Yeah, I think, all of us won't fail to have seen the rise of generative AI, with ChatGPT came out in 2022. And really, those type of tools that use generative AI, they have helped the small to medium businesses now to be able to interact with AI more. So, you're interacting with those tools using conversation, natural language. There's ways that some of the tool sets that come out there integrate with the types of things that people are used to working with every day. So maybe their Windows 365 applications, their Word documents, their emails, their spreadsheets. There's now AI tools built into those that give people a starting point. How can you maybe think about what that tool offers you? How can it help with certain tasks that you're doing day to day, so you can free yourself up from some of those mundane tasks that take up time, and you can then focus on more higher value work and your employees as well.
Yeah, which is kind of toe dipping, but still you'd see the benefits of it.
Oh, absolutely. I think it is just about looking for opportunities to bring in those efficiencies. It can also lead to a better employee experience, customer experience. So, I wouldn't underestimate how much that can actually bring to businesses in terms of as you say, just been able to take advantage of the technology that's out there. I would say it's more than toe dipping. You know, you can actually, there's ways that you can even create your own virtual assistant that allows people to maybe, you know, contact your business, get answers to questions.
Yes, of course. What I meant by that was just if it's people's initial interactions with the likes of Gemini or the Copilot, or I've no doubt at all about the benefits that it can reap down the line. And I think there's a great opportunity for people to network with each other, but also get this information. It's at the Fintru Letterkenny office, which is located at Windy Hall, Letterkenny, and it's on Thursday, the 24th of October, from 8:30 a.m. 10 a.m. So sharp, to the point, because you know people are busy, right? So you get into the point and the benefits really quickly, but also an opportunity for members of the business community to get together.
Yes, absolutely. We are looking forward to welcoming in the wider business community into the office. You know, we had a lot of visitors on the opening day, but this now allows people to sign up to that event, you know, through the Chamber of Commerce website. We have limited capacity on the day, but, you know, feel free to actually contact the Chamber of Commerce. I'm sure we'll still manage to squeeze a few more people in. So, yeah, looking forward to welcoming people in.
Yeah, and it's a really exciting space, and I think it's going to be really beneficial to business. So hopefully there's a turnout there, because even if people really have limited knowledge in this area, Catherine, they'll be catered for on Thursday.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is not for any, you know, this is not for anyone with any great expertise in AI. You know, there will be a short session just to kind of bring people through, you know, what AI is, what it's good for, what it's not so good for, you know, and how they can begin using that within their workplace.
Fantastic. Brilliant stuff. And it's about how you use it right and use it incorrectly. Amazon have sort of integrated AI into their app. I'm not excited about the experience. We'll see how that progresses. But that's all part of the learning curve, isn't it? It's what works really well, and then maybe what doesn't work so well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there, as I said, it comes with the risks as well as the benefits, and it's about trying to maximize the benefits whilst trying to mitigate some of those risks. So yeah, we'll be talking through some of that as well, just to you know, help people along that journey as well, how they get started.
Catherine, have a lovely day. Thank you so very much indeed. Really appreciate your time. Catherine Harkin there, Executive Director, Head of AI at Fintru. There's an AI awareness event exploring the impact on your business. So if you are a local business, a member of the local business community, or your employee, or whatever it might be, and you want to see how it might integrate with your work, or enhance, you know, the offering you have for the public, then get yourself onto the Chamber website and you can book a spot for the event, which is on from 8:30 a.m. for an hour and a half at Fintru Letterkenny, Windy Hall, in Letterkenny. That's their office. Darren Harvey's with me now. Hi, Darren.
Good morning, Greg.
This is one of these stories when Caroline was briefing me on it, I found it hard to believe, right? So you were flying back from Portugal on Sunday and you're still not home.
No, that's correct, Chris. I'm not home. We had 4 attempts of landing at Dublin Airport, twice diverted, once to Manchester, and eventually got diverted again to Birmingham after the 4th attempt. We decided to get off the plane at that stage because the attempted landings was horrendous. This is only my personal experience. I'm not speaking for anyone else on the plane. But we decided that we were not going to fly for 16. We just had enough, and we were already on the plane for 10 hours at that stage. And we decided at Birmingham to take ourselves off the plane. And our tailors also came off the plane as well. When we were in Birmingham and we were told that a new crew was coming back on and they were going to go try again, the atmosphere in the plane changed to people were going like, we can't really go try again. We've been through 4 horrendous attempts. And then my wife took a bit of a panic attack and she went to the front to say that we needed to get off, and I told her to go off the plane. She was stopped from getting off the plane. We said, no, you can't get off the plane. And I told the stewardess, listen, she suffered from a panic attack. The situation's extreme here. She is getting off the plane. So I told her to go off. She walked down the steps and I followed behind her, and our 11-year-old daughter came with us as well. And then we went down the steps and after maybe half an hour or more, 20, 30, 40 more people came after that. We've been here since.
So before we get to why you're there and what happens next, I mean, obviously you were on the plane for a very long time, very stressful attempted landings given the weather conditions. How were you cared for by Ryanair in this process?
Given the extreme events of the flight and the length of time on it, it was okay. It was hard to deal with, but after the first two attempts, there was a medical emergency on our plane, and we had to be diverted to Manchester. We thought, most people thought then that we were probably going to get in Manchester because of two horrendous attempts to land. The staff were, you know, giving us bits and pieces of information. We didn't really know what we were going to happen in Manchester. They fed us very little information at that time as to what was going to happen. We just sat there 2.5 hours. We were then informed we were going back to the staff. As I say, it was still a stressful situation for everybody. After the third and fourth attempt was made, the plane, when we were diverted then to Birmingham, the staff were trying their best, I have to say, but they sort of didn't have any information of what was going to happen. We really needed to know what was our next agenda. Were we going to Birmingham? That was us. We had no mobile phones. Mobile phones all had died by the stage. We needed information as to, are we staying in Birmingham? What is happening? Because people had stuff to do. You know, people had people to collect or being picked up.
So, Darren, once you sort of, once you departed the plane, presumably, you know, Ryanair would say, well, look, if you'd stayed in the plane, we'd have got you home. Are you in a bit of a standoff now at this point? Like, did they sort of see you as breaking whatever contract or responsibility they might have had with you because you were so stressed, your wife was stressed, you had to get off that plane?
Yes. When we eventually got off the plane, they said to us, when you're off the plane, you are on your own to a certain degree. Now, it's on our heads now. We'll go back, try again. So when we make a decision to get off, everything outside of the plane, they have to deal with accommodation or flights back or anything. They didn't say they were going to help us in any way. But that stage, we didn't really care what they were saying. We just needed to get off the plane, and we were dealing with that situation. It wasn't so much a standoff.
The line is absolutely terrible, Darren. Is there any way you can reposition yourself in the room or something? It's just the line's absolutely brutal.
Can you hear me better now?
I think so, yeah.
It wasn't so much a standoff. They just sort of said to us that, you know, you can't get off the plane. But we did, you know, we didn't forcibly get off. My wife just walked down the steps, and, you know, the other people behind us, they tried to get off behind us, but they were stopped. They needed to get information from them because we said, we're staying now anyway. Once you're off the plane, that was it. That Ryanair didn't really have to deal with your situation then. They were more concerned about getting the people off who needed to get off and getting their baggage and luggage put together to get the plane back in the air to try again. But we had made the decision that we didn't really feel safe enough to go back and try which ended up being a fifth and sixth time for them to attempt it. It took the sixth goal for them to land.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have to make a judgment call on safety as well. I mean, how many times are you prepared to roll the dice? If you were on the back of a motorbike or in the back of a car, you'd eventually have to make a call. So you have a flight booked, you are getting home, but it's an incredible inconvenience because it's Tuesday now, so you'll be home late Tuesday. Do you hold Ryanair liable? Who do you want to cover this? Or are you prepared to absorb this, or are you going to pursue it, Darren?
No, I can't see. We made the decision to get off. Now, Ryanair did, I suppose, at the end of the day, do what they were meant to do and land the plane at Dublin Airport. That was their main aim, and they did that. We decided to get off with 40 others, and that was our decision. And they did inform us once you were off that, you know, we were taking responsibility for your own actions after that. So we will have to bear the brunt of it. You know, it's not so much who's going to pay for this or who's paying for that. It's more the experience of the whole thing was a lot. And we just made our call, our personal decision was our call not to go for the fifth attempt. many others didn't go for it. You know, I think after 10 hours on a plane, I think there should have been some sort of protocol here. I'm sure this has happened many times before. The information was very, very weak. You know, once we got off the plane, we had no accommodation, we had no phones, we had no flights back. And once we got off the plane into the terminal and got our luggage together, we all charged our phones to try and get accommodation and flights. Unfortunately, all the flights for today had already been booked up by everybody else's flights from England and elsewhere here who had been cancelled. They had jumped on all the Ryanair flights out of England today for us to get over, so we couldn't go back today. So our only option was to fly back. Sorry, yes, that's yesterday.
Yeah.
Was to fly back today. You know, that was our decision to make, and we just have to deal with that.
All right, but there should be some sort of a protocol. I think there should be some space whereby, you know, you say, right, you've had four goes at this. There was a lot of distress on the plane, as you say, medical emergencies and everything else. So it wasn't just you guys. And we don't know the fate of the other 30 or 40. But listen, Darren, thanks for sharing the story with us. I hope it hasn't tainted the trip to Portugal too much. And we look forward to you getting home safe later today.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care, Darren. Thanks for sharing the story there. What would you have done in that situation? 086 60 25,000. Just some comments as we head to the news at 11. I visit my son's grave in Conwall Graveyard every day. Twice now I've had to remove dog poo from his grave. Would dog owners please be more thoughtful and clean up after their dog? I've seen them letting dogs off the leash to run around. Right, that's a very tough journey to make, but for the grave to be what must feel like desecrated in that situation, that would be too much to bear. Dog owners, please just think on others sometimes. And I'm referencing the small amount of dog owners who are irresponsible, if the truth be known.